Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
For the Built for Tough Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and whoever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good summer Friday, especially if you are a New York Mets fan or a New York Met or Buck Showalter or Billy Epler or Steve Cohen or whoever, as they end up sweeping the Philadelphia Phillies. Max Scherzer looks good again. So for the first time in a very long time, and the first time this season altogether, I think that there is some confidence in this group. We will see how long that lasts. Justin Verlander gets another crack at it starting tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. And the New York Yankees head out to L.A. to take on the Dodgers, this premier matchup that does not happen all that much. And guys are coming back. Stanton's coming back. Donaldson's coming back. Tommy Canley's coming back. And with Giancarlo Stanton, can he sustain success to that lineup and make this Yankee team dominant? Or is he just going to end up back on the IL with another muscle strain? We got NBA Finals talk to get to, plenty more with Jerry coming up in a little bit. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm doing great, man. It was great watching the Mets yesterday and watching Scherzer do what he did. And, you know, I was told yesterday during the game watching it, and I told my friend Ron Darling I was going to tell him, say this morning. I was texting with him.
Oh, God.
And talking
he's
with him yesterday.
It. He's got to develop a strong hatred for these text messages.
Well, I didn't text him during the game.
Oh, okay.
I did speak with him after the game.
Oh, that's a little bit different. I apologize. The game, he's trying to do his job, and his phone goes.
Exactly. Well,
Boomer,
you know,
again, God.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it was Gary, Keith, or Ronnie, but somebody said in that booth, Max Scherzer is back. The demise of Max Scherzer was greatly over exaggerated. And I'm thinking, are they talking to us? I don't know if they were talking to us or not. But they said he's back. So, you know, they're the experts. Well, they're the best booth in baseball.
Yeah, but didn't we learn this last year and the year before with
Max? Well, I don't know, but this is what they said. This is what they said yesterday. And
so there's nothing to worry about now for the rest of the year?
According to them, there's nothing to worry about. So as long as and I was talking to Ronnie last night, and he was talking about how yesterday during the game, because I pay attention.
Right.
You know, great pitchers are great thinking pitchers. Not just the physical aspect of who they are as players, and certainly Max Scherzer showed that yesterday. But this goes to show you again, like how long the baseball season is,
sure,
and how many twists and turns we're going to see throughout the year, and how we can be frustrated at times for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden they come out of this abyss and they look like they're unstoppable. And especially sweeping the Phillies, you know, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out is what I like to say about the Phillies, and. I would just tell you that it was great to see, and his last three outings have been very good. And I don't know what to tell you. You have two good outings by Carrasco. You got three good outings by Scherzer. You hopefully are going to get a good outing from Verlander tonight. And the bullpen has held up, and they've had. Remember we were talking yesterday about a guy that's hot, and for whatever reason, you don't know why they go up and down. And the wine and cheese guy yesterday.
Wine and cheese guy.
Yeah, Mark Canha again. Yeah,
the foodie.
The foodie, right? You know, comes up big again offensively. So And look, this is why I always say this. It's a long season. We're going to have these twists and turns. And right now, we're at a high point of the Mets season. Right now.
So far, yes. And it better not be the top high point of the season, because that would be very unfortunate. But right now, this is the best that you felt about the team. And I heard Al and Jerry this morning with the warm-up show talking about Fliegelman and how Fliegelman was calling out Mets fans that were negative about the team and saying they were done.
He's doing the same thing that the guys in the booth were doing yesterday.
Yeah, but here's the thing that's funny about that. You know, the people now that are saying, hey, look, you were wrong about the Mets early on. You called it too soon. You said that they stunk. Look how well they're playing. The people that think that they stunk can now come back to you if they start stinking again and say, you called it too soon. You said that they were good. You said that I was wrong. It's the same thing. So if you're calling out people for calling it too early because they were bad, and now you're saying that they're good, it's still June 2nd.
I mean, wasn't this...
So what are you talking about?
When did Sal Licata, basically say that we won the NL East last year? Don't you remember that whole thing?
Yes, of course.
Oh, we're you know, whatever hell
NL East
said.
Is over. Yeah, yeah, it was a 10-game lead on the Braves, and I don't remember. I want to say it was June. It was probably June.
But this is baseball. This is what we do. We go up and down, back and forth. You know, guys have bad weeks. Other guys have great weeks. I mean, like Alonso's not hitting now all of a sudden, and Canna is.
By the way, they have, what's the best way, word? They have suppressed their hump. I finally saw it. It's a hump suppression. So it used to be like, bam, they really got into it, the infield.
Yes.
Now they just get together, and it's just a little bit of a thrust.
So these are the subtle things and the nuances that are going on with the Mets this year.
Right.
I can remember when they started with the Columbia Presbyterian patch.
Oh, God.
And we were like, oh, my God, what are they doing?
Terrible.
Right. It was Philly's colors.
Steve Cohen said that. I mean, it should be Mets colors. Yeah, why is it Philly's colors?
Yeah, but now they fixed it.
They did fix that.
And now it is Mets colors.
Right.
And it's less obtrusive, and it doesn't look so bad, and it looks like it's a part of the uniform now.
Right, exactly.
And now the hump thing.
No, the hump thing was too much, just like the patch. You're right. It was too over the top. It was too much. Pete Alonso was just pounding that railing. They were humping each other after the game, and now they've dialed it back, I think, probably because they knew how ridiculous that looked.
Do you think Ronnie and Keith hump each other upstairs when the Mets went after?
Maybe in the 80s they did. Yeah, see, there were a lot of rumors back then about a lot of guys. So maybe, but I don't know, not so much now. I think they've gotten out of their system.
But I told Ronnie I'm not going to text him as much during the game. I'll talk to him after the game.
Yeah, and he actually changed his number, too, and I think it was because of you.
I think it was, too, but then he gave it back to me.
I know, because he felt bad. He was like, oh, what a dude.
I mean, what the... They had a pretty good conversation, too, because, you know, Gary Cohen's going into the Mets Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And,
as he should.
And he asked them a question. I think it was a question, but he was talking about there are three Mets or Met Hall of Fame members that will have grown up as Met fans. I don't know if you heard this yesterday.
All right. So Howie Rose.
Right.
Gary Cohen.
Right. And one more. And he's a good friend of the show and a good friend of us, and We see him around every now and again, and, you know, he kind of left you hanging somewhere.
He left me hanging somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Left me hanging somewhere.
I think Sag Harbor.
Oh, Johnny Franco.
Johnny Franco, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Johnny Franco did do that, which was one of the funniest moments ever, because here's John Franco, you know, one of the more recognizable Mets of his time during that time. St. John's guy, New York guy. He's in Sag Harbor.
And a Mets fan.
Right, sure. But he had, like, the hat on.
Right.
And he pulled it down.
And somebody
recognized me over him, and then he left me high and dry with his baguette. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, he took his baguettes and went home.
Right, he had a bag of baguettes. And then he just goes, whoop, see ya. Guy goes, hey, Gio, love the show. And it was like the Roadrunner he took off. In a cloud of dust, he was out of there.
How about Johnny Franco just living up to the stereotype of being, you know, the Italian guy in Sag Harbor walking around with baguettes.
Bread. Yeah, with walking around with Italian loaves of Italian bread.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to go home, make some sauce. You know, me and Ro, we're going to have a little bit of dinner.
Yeah, so congratulations, you know, to Gary and everybody else. And it is actually a feel-good Friday because of what happened with the Phillies, at least for us Met fans, and if you're a Yankee fan, now here come the reinforcements.
Yeah.
And I love
maybe.
I do love what Aaron Boone said. He goes, you know, the last time I guess the Yankees and Dodgers played in Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, not Sanchez Ravine.
Right, Al. You know, they had to wear those dopey player uniforms.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
That was so dumb.
Yes.
Oh, I remember having these conversations about that. You're right. I totally forgot about that.
And Aaron, somebody brought it up. I don't think he brought that up specifically.
Yeah.
Somebody brought it up maybe to him. I'm not sure. But they were talking about, he was talking about how they have 2 4 o'clock games out there, which is great for us because we were talking about that because we'll be able to watch them. But and just the setting of Chavez Ravine and Dodger Yankee uniforms on the field together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get Clayton Kershaw and Severino tonight. Gerrit Cole pitches in the second game of the series. I will be up watching because it'll be a 7 o'clock start for me out in Las Vegas at the Circa Sportsbook. I feel like I just have to bet the Yankees. I'm going to be with a Yankee fan, so even if I kind of think the Dodgers are going to win, I think I still
Why would
have
you
to
think the Dodgers are going to win?
I don't know because
the Yankees been playing great.
I think Stan's going to come back and go to get the golden sombrero. That's what I think is going to happen.
It's a National League park. He's really a National League player.
And I think Kershaw, even though he's not the same guy,
yeah,
he's going to get amped up for this start. It's going to be a big start for him. Friday night, Yankees. Going to get vintage Kershaw.
Huge start.
Huge.
But I'm going to bet him anyway. He may get slapped around. You never know.
Well, I hope so.
I'll tell you one thing. Severino's been pitching his ass off.
He certainly has. And the Yankees had the day off with the travel, so it wasn't like one of those wacky travel situations. So they should be good to go. And I don't know if this Donaldson, Stanton, Canely, I don't know if this is going to be a shot in the arm for them or not. I mean, they've been playing relatively well. We've talked about how Stanton takes a while to get going offensively when he comes off his six-week his annual IL stint, one of probably two or three throughout the year. Donaldson, we've all decided, is washed up. Tommy Canley's a huge one. Tommy Canley can come back and pitch well. That is a huge addition to the bullpen, as we know. But I just wonder, what are the Yankees going to get out of those guys? Obviously, Stanton will turn around at some point and hit well, and he has hit well in the postseason, unlike Aaron Judge, but I mean, is Josh Donaldson coming back anything that excites any Yankee fan? I mean, come on.
I know. I understand that. But again, he's a part of the team. He's the big money guy. And, you know, I'm not saying it's exciting, Yankee fans. But all I can tell you is that the rich are getting richer. With the it's too bad that Bader's hurt. That's the thing. I mean,
well, he's another guy who's always hurt.
But yeah, no, been an IKF man to play in center field now.
Yeah, no,
he's on like a little bit of a roll,
right? But this is why when people use the excuse of injuries for the Yankees, that I can't take it as a serious excuse because the guys who have been brought here have injury history. Like Harrison Bader's had injury history. You traded for him when he was hurt. He wasn't even playing. Frankie Montas, you traded for him when he was hurt. Carlos Rodon, big injury history. Signed him to a huge free agent deal. What happens? Hurt. Haven't even seen him this year.
What happens? You see him in September, and all of a sudden he goes, you know, 4-0 in September, and he's rocking and rolling in October.
Well, that would be awesome. That would be great.
You tell me about Scherzer and Verlander. Okay, great that they're pitching good now.
Right.
But I want to see that in September.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that it's taken this long for Carlos Rodon to even be able to get on the mound is not a good situation. Every time he has a throwing session, he's got a back issue. So it's obviously not what you want to see when you pay a guy that amount of money.
It's kind of interesting. You know, they kind of did that with Severino. You know, he was a little annoyed with how long it took for him to come back. He thought he was ready to come back a hell of a lot earlier than he ultimately did.
Yeah.
And the Yankees were super, super cautious with him. And now look at him.
Sure. And the same thing last year. He had issues with that in the 60-day IL and how they pushed him back. But he's someone you got to be cautious with. I mean, that's why Severino, a healthy Severino, is such a weapon for them. But you just can't count on it. You know, it's the same thing with Giancarlo Stanton. You just can't count on it. And he has been someone who has, when the lights are bright and the playoffs, has been able to carry the team offensively when they've needed it. They are in a very difficult division, and they're going to need both of those guys, Judge and Stanton, to stay healthy and to produce if they want to make sure they're going to lock up another playoff spot. And Giancarlo Stanton just hasn't proven to be able to do that. So, I don't know. I think that the Yankees are in a really good spot, though, right now with the way that they're playing. I don't have a lot of negatives to say about them. It's just that everybody talk about they're getting healthy, but you know, what are they getting out of those guys? What are they getting out of them?
When they are healthy, yes.
Yeah.
They actually might as well just stay hurt.
How many times have we said that over the last couple of years? That when, you know, the Yankees have been, you know, guys are on the IL and other guys are stepping up and doing great things. It was a few years ago, the first year we saw Gio Urshela. Remember how good Gio Urshela was when we first got here?
There's always, like, IKF was like that.
Well, I mean, this year he is.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year, but they always have a guy like that, it seems like.
Yeah.
Somehow they get somebody from out of nowhere.
Luke Voit.
Well, it was Miguel Andujar.
Yeah, he was a guy who got called up, and he was a second in the AL Rookie of the Year to Shohei Ohtani.
It was Gary Sanchez when they brought him up.
Yep, that's right. And he hit all those home runs, and then think about these guys.
And maybe it's Volpe this year. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he's had his moments, but at this point, especially when you got Peraza, I don't know if you've been watching what he's been doing in AAA. But there's been
I haven't been watching. There's been some. AAA, I'm sorry.
I don't know if you've got a little.
Have you been looking at those splits again?
I've not been looking at the splits, but there's a lot of, groundswell.
There's a groundswell.
There's a groundswell that's going on.
Okay.
With Peraza and how well he is playing and Volpe not exactly being the offensive shortstop that they were looking for coming out of spring. It's been a little bit of talk, a little bit of chatter.
Little chatter. Okay.
You know me, I've always got my ear to the ground when it comes to baseball.
I know that, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. Do you?
I don't. As long as the team is winning.
Yes.
I mean, I think that one of the reasons why the Mets ended up calling up those guys was not just because of injury, but I mean, it was with Alvarez maybe, but they also needed a shot in the arm. They needed it because the team was losing. They were under 500. And we'll see what happens because Francisco Alvarez will not get sent down now. He's proven himself. But there is another scenario where when Navarez comes back, if they carry three catchers, that they send Vientos down as opposed to DFAing Vogelback. And that would cause almost as much panic and anger and whatever as sending Alvarez down would.
Hey, major groundswell, without question.
Groundswell.
Yeah,
without, you can feel it, can't you?
I can feel it. It's a feel-good Friday. And
it's a Richter scale situation.
Right, I don't want to start talking about groundswells, but I will say this.
Yeah?
I will say this.
Okay.
You want a strong take on something?
Not at 6:15.
No, okay.
Because we're going to a break.
Yeah.
But save it. Can you save it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Save it. All right. Perfect. This is going to be awesome. Now I'm excited.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I want a strong take on something. Can you save it for like a half an hour after Jerry? You do that?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe I'll have to do it with. Well, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Save I don't it know then. If I can though.
You don't know if you can.
Yeah, and it's not about the Mets or the Yankees, by the way. The Mets and the Yankees are in good shape. Everything's fine. Things are happening. Right. Feel good about our baseball teams right now as we sit here.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, so wait. Just chill. Wait. We got a long way to go.
Yeah, I know we do.
We're going to drop this big, strong take on the audience on a Feel Good Friday. Going to drop it.
Boom.
Boom.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and the CBS Sports Network on a feel-good summer Friday. A beautiful day. It feels like the middle of July, the last couple of days around here, and that's going to continue today as well. Jerry Recco is with us with his first update of the morning. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com and brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Mets Phillies, a little matinee baseball yesterday at Citi Field.
3-1. Canna swings, hits a high fly ball, deep left field. to the left field side and out of here. He has done it again against Philadelphia. Two-run homer to give the Mets the lead in the bottom of the fourth inning.
You touch me, I am going to knee you in the balls.
Don't touch me. I'm not saying I'm going to touch you.
Don't touch me.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the neck hair is out of whack because last week, so I go every 2 weeks to make sure it stays.
It's terrible. Really, it is.
I actually said to Kim last night, we had a senior mass for Matthew who's graduating tomorrow. I said, we got to take care of this for graduation because last week was prom, and I did not get him an appointment, so I gave him my appointment at Prime Barber Lounge in Middletown. I do it every 2 weeks. It's disgusting. But I gave him my appointment.
Allie can handle that.
No, she gets paid. What am I, DA? She gets paid to do makeup.
No, she pays for DA.
By the way, congratulations to DA. He had his first child, him and his wife. Congratulations.
Well, congratulations. Yes, that's right. He hasn't been here, I guess.
That is right.
Wonderful. Yes. Very good. Good for them.
Is Keith McPherson back yet?
No, I heard Sal last night.
When is he coming back?
Next week.
Next week, okay. Yeah. All right, so, but I'm just thinking, do we have any clippers
or anything? Don't touch me.
Could you just clip that off right here? It'd be so easy.
No.
All you have is those nose hair clippers.
My wife is taking care of this today. Don't go near me.
I don't think this will work.
Don't. That's a nose hair trimmer.
Yeah, no, I said I don't think it'll work.
Why? Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why do you have that?
Well, look at
to trim my nose hairs.
At work?
Yeah.
You travel with a nose hair trimmer?
Well, what happened was they gave us all these a few years back, and I have one at home, but I was like, I'll keep it here just in case there's a couple that bother me, and I could just burn, and Boomer was the last one to use this, by the way.
Yeah, I used the last
one. So you're sharing a nose hair trimmer?
Yeah, we're close enough now. It's fine.
Why not?
It's post-COVID days. Nobody's worried about that.
Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez all of a sudden? You guys humping in the back after shows, too?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
But I'm sure we can take care of that, don't touch me.
My wife will take care of it later.
It's not a hard thing, but I have to say, it's the first thing that I noticed this morning.
Right, it's like when you get those styes in your eyes and none of us are allowed to say anything to you.
Yes, or you get like a cold sore in your lip.
Right, you've had those too, and we all talk awkwardly and don't say anything.
No, we say things.
we do, but we don't say it to you on the air.
No, we all...
Instead, we say, hey, guys, let's keep the camera wide.
You guys are always busting my balls. It's unbelievable. I'm just saying.
But not on the air.
Just trying to... Yes, not on the air.
Not on the air.
Are you kidding me?
It's a feel-good Friday, guys. A feel-good Friday.
He started it.
He did start it.
I feel great.
Yeah, I do too. I'm feeling awesome. Yeah.
I got to keep one eye on you. Here's Mark Canna.
Balls.
I can't believe how hairy that neck is.
Yeah, I agree. In the fourth, here's Canna on SNY. Yeah, just like your eyes, your mouth made us, our eyes bleed about 2 months ago. Like, oh, here it comes.
The platypus.
Scrooge McDuck.
Here was Canna on SNY. Boy, it really seems like you like playing Philly.
You could say that. I mean, I'm just happy to get a win against a divisional opponent anytime.
And they got three in a row from them, moving them to 30-27 and sending Philadelphia to six games under 500. Here was Max Scherzer. He went seven innings, two-run ball, nine strikeouts for the win. How about Canna?
Mark had a great swing today with the home run. And, to see him starting to come alive and start hit fire, catch some fire here, that's what we need. You need a total team effort offensively.
And that's
what
they got.
Did you check his Instagram to see where he went to dinner last night?
No, it's usually when he's on the road.
Is it Scherzer or Canna?
No, Canna. He's the wine and cheese guy.
He's the wine and cheese guy. I don't think he posted anything yesterday because I started following him and I don't see it.
Okay.
Yeah. Scherzer talking about, clearly not a young man anymore, at least not in baseball terms. Things are definitely different for him as he's grinding through these days.
Fastball's good, but, it's not, I'm older now. I don't blow the same way as I used to.
No, good for you, I suppose. Do what you gotta do. However,
I know we've all heard that.
Just get the job.
Man, he is one strange dude. He comes off some strange stuff.
Drew Smith.
It blew me, and it was exhilarating.
Who is that?
Jerry.
Apparently me, because Eddie edited a couple of things out.
He took the word away out of the line. Here was Mark Vientos. He contributed a little pinch hit sack fly and an RBI.
All my hard work paying off, just doing my thing before the game, my pregame routine, all the stuff we do with Cora, with Barnsey, with Chavi, all the guys, just doing all that before the game is going to pay off. Just my preparation.
You mentioned Scherzer the win. Drew Smith got the final out for the save. So Mets Blue Jays now. You've got for the weekend, Justin Verlander and Chris Bassett winner tonight on WCBS 880. Yankees in LA to take on the Dodgers. You guys discussed, you know, Stanton and Donaldson, all these moves. You got Luis Severino and Clayton Kershaw tonight. Late start here on the Fan. We get to the NBA Finals. Game number one, Nuggets, Heat. And this was pretty much no contest as Denver didn't go wire to wire, but pretty damn close.
Adebayo has it. He's at the elbow, guarded by Nikola Jokic. He gets to the dotted line. Jump shot, no good. Rebound, Joker. And there's a triple-double from Nikola Jokic, the second player in NBA history to debut in the NBA Finals with a triple-double.
Any idea who the other one was?
Magic Johnson.
No. Good guess, though.
James Worthy.
No. Closer to home.
Closer to home.
Closer to home. Closer
Jason
to home.
Kidd.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
Look at you. That's
Look
exactly
at me.
Right.
I know
Jason
my hoops.
Kidd is the answer.
There you go.
Jokic finished with 27, 10, and 14 assists. Here was Michael Malone. The guy is really something.
Nikola never tries to impose his will or force things that aren't there. He's going to read the game. He's going to make the right play. And most importantly, he's going to make every one of his teammates better. And
Jamal Murray, 11 of 22, 26 points, 10 assists. For Miami, Jimmy Butler, 6 of 14 shooting, 13 points. Bam Adebayo had 26 and 13 for the double-double. Now, after the game, this is a little long, so I'll cut it off in the middle. You had, in terms of the free throw shooting, Denver was 16 of 20. Miami, 2 for 2. That's it. And Adebayo was asked about it afterwards.
Bam, I promise I'm not trying to get you fined, but two foul shots to 20. That's quite a discrepancy, but it doesn't seem like you guys are complaining about the officiating.
If I do say something, will you take the fine?
Which you know he's not going to do. And so he just went on to say we got to be more aggressive.
What do you think is larger, that fine amount or that guy's salary that asked the question? Seriously.
I mean,
it's probably the around fine, the same the thing.
Fine,
the
fine. No, I think the fine would be nothing more than 10 grand.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I thought it was more like 75 when these guys go at it.
It would be. But I think when you have such a discrepancy, though, wouldn't you think they'd look at it and be like, we'll go easy?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, there's no way that the NBA is trying to control this so the Nuggets win. I mean, this is not like the Lakers or a big team or is trying to get LeBron another championship. It just so happened that's the way the game went. And Miami does play, I mean, very, very physically. And if they're going to win this series, they're going to have to play that way. So it wasn't surprising to me that they committed more fouls.
And you also talk about live by the three, die by the three. Boomer, Miami, 13 of 39 from three-point range. Max Strus was 0 for 9.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not playing in the Knicks, so therefore he's going to miss. It's a make-and-miss league, Jerry.
Well, he also was very good against the Celtics, Strus. I mean, he did continue that. I mean, he wasn't just draining them against the Knicks. That guy was great. He was arguably their best player in the Celtics.
Maybe it was the altitude.
Could be.
Yeah. Never know. Game two, Sunday night. Celtics president Brad Stevens announcing Thursday that Joe Mazzulla will indeed remain the team's head coach.
Oh, he's a terrific leader. He'll only get better at anything that, you know, he can learn from this year because he's constantly trying to learn. And he's accountable.
Well, he might be, but he's going to have a new staff. Three assistants reportedly leaving to join Ime Udoka in Houston. So we'll see where that goes. Remember Josh Hart had that interesting tweet about tasting breast milk?
Yeah.
A couple of days ago. Well, one NBA personality, Stephen A., took notice.
Damn, Josh! What the hell?
Hey! he said he doesn't quite go for it himself.
I've never been inclined to taste breast milk.
No, but he is a boobs fan.
I like breast. You don't have to be a baby to like breast.
Now, I like milk. I do. I like skim milk. I like whole milk. I like 2% milk. I like almond milk. But I don't like breast milk. Nah. You won't see me suckling on a teat. Not me. Not at least to extract milk from it. I could get my Stonyfield Organic from the supermarket. Not out of my wife. look like? What do I look like? Some sort of barbarian? But I do love them boobies. I don't know how you couldn't. I do. I am a booby fan.
I like breasts. You don't have to be a baby to like breasts.
And the dog jumps in. Very overrated, the breasts. Me, more of an ass man. You can take the boobies. You can have them. Me, the derriere. Man, you crazy.
Well, he did say society is nuts over boobs.
One could easily argue there are adults who like breasts more than babies.
What? This is great. This is an Odyssey podcast, right?
I have no idea.
I think it is.
Awful announcing posted it. Right. I have no idea where it came from, to be quite honest with you. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, Al likes breasts more than babies, right?
Well,
what does that mean?
Exactly what he just said.
Right.
You hate children.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But that's Stephen A. Smith. There are people who like boobies better than babies. I'm like, Al is one of them.
No, right? I think he means... There are people who like breasts more than babies like breasts.
Oh. I totally thought.
One could easily argue there are adults who like breasts more than babies.
Oh, I thought he was saying.
I thought the same thing you thought.
Okay. Good job, Al, for deciphering that.
Al figured it out. He understands Steve.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yes, I do.
All right, my bad on that. I was with you on that one. Also, you mentioned Russo.
I want to die with boobs in my face.
See, that's a man who's got his stuff together. That's priorities right there.
Okay. You mentioned Russo there. The whole jock itch video has resurfaced.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Funhouse posted it again, and that has been all over the place.
Yep. So, jock itch.
Yeah, who looks like he's going to be an NBA champion. 3 games to go. We'll see if he gets it done. Tom Brady told SI not coming back to play this season. I did think it was interesting. It was Robin Lundberg that he talked to, who's the guy that was battling out on the whataboutism.
That's right.
About a year ago, maybe.
It's just whataboutism.
Yeah, that's right. He used to be here at CBS Sports Radio. He's over at SI now.
Yep. And I think that's where he was doing the program, where he mentioned it, and then him and Al got into it on Twitter, and then Al invited him on, and they yelled back and forth at one another.
That is correct, yes. So. That's when Al was really, he was jousting with many members of the media. They also had the Maggie Gray, Lawrence Taylor argument during that time.
That one was uncomfortable.
Right, that was vintage Al at that point. You know, it was like a fine wine. You go back to Al Dukes 2021... Or 2020, like pandemic Al at home.
Oh, forget
getting
it.
Getting more sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, he was firing at everybody.
And then, of course, you had the classic when he yelled at Joe for asking autographs.
That was a long time ago.
Yes. But that was face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
That was right in Joe's face. Yes. And your guy, your former Ranger, not that he was here long, Patrick Kane, had something called hip resurfacing procedure.
Yes.
He's out 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, he was hurt. Yeah.
What does that mean? Hip resurfacing? They're going to shave part of his hip?
Yeah. They go in.
For real?
And, yeah, because he has... we all knew he was hurt. You could tell. And, you know, he came here again, you know.
Whoa.
Who was making that decision? Brian Cashman?
So this is CBS Sports. Look at maybe this. CBS Sports Network has the graphic up. It says, hip resurfacing. The femoral head, which is the head of the thigh bone, is not removed, but is instead trimmed and capped with a smooth metal covering.
Holy crap.
Yeah. This guy's going to come back and play at a high level again? The metal hip?
Maybe. With what they do medically these days? And you're talking 6 months.
And, you know, the amazing thing is you could see it.
Yeah.
We all saw it.
So did they get him as damaged goods, or was he hurt when he got here?
When they got him, he was hurt. He was not 100%.
What about the physical?
He could play with it, but he wasn't going to be the same player. That was the thing. And when he got it, you could see he had his hands and everything was fine with that. But he just couldn't skate. He couldn't keep up.
Terrible.
It was obvious to everybody.
So there you go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're going to talk about Nikola Jokic's amazing playoffs and first night in the NBA Finals coming up in about 15 minutes. But right before the game, Adam Silver gave a sort of state of the NBA type of interview and press conference. And the John Morant situation came up, and he got a little taste of what it's like to be Roger Goodell, because I feel like every one of these Roger Goodell pre-Super Bowl press conferences that he has always turns into some sort of controversy, whatever it may be, a suspension here, a concussion conversation there, Jim Trotter asking him about diversity in the offense, all of these things that have gone on in these Roger Goodell press conferences. So here's Adam Silver trying to celebrate the NBA, and of course, John Morant comes up. And he said he's making everybody wait on pins and needles to see what the suspension is going to be, because he's not going to announce it until the end of the NBA Finals. Now, the most interesting thing he said about the John Morant situation and the suspension was, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information, I think, since I was first asked about the situation. I will say we could have probably brought it to a head now, but we made the decision. I believe the Players Association agrees with us. It would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. So if there's additional information that we don't know about,
is that good information or bad information?
Don't know. And it could be the fact that John Morant, since this latest incident, has done all these good things and made Adam Silver proud or whatever. Or it could be the fact that there are several other instances that were not caught on Instagram Live that have led him to come down with a major, major suspension. Now, you said a year suspension would really send the message. I would be, especially when he's referencing the Players Association here, I would be shocked if the Players Association is in agreement on a year suspension, because it sounds like they are in lockstep with this and they've already had the conversation. Now, could I see it be half the season? Could I see 41 games? I could. But the whole season would be, to me, absolutely shocking.
Well, there's three or four different incidents that John Morant has gotten himself into. And the latest incident comes after sitting down with the commissioner in the first place, which really shows a lack of regard of the commissioner's stature, what he stands for, what he's trying to do, and how important it is to the league that, you know, that these players don't do what John Morant is doing. And I think that that, to me, you know, just it's like a slap to the commissioner's face. This latest incident, and if there's other information that is associated with that, and Ja's not following what supposedly he was supposed to be following in terms of, you know, getting the mental health that he needs to deal with his stresses and things of that nature, unless there is some diagnosis of some sort that we don't know about that he is alluding to, or that in some way would have them understand a little bit more of why he's going through these things.
Yeah.
Then I would think that the suspension would be smaller than what I would expect. But I still think this has got to be at least, I would make it at least a year, that he's got to get his life in order. He's young enough. He's not going to lose any of his basketball skills. It's not like he's 38 and he's got a 4-year contract in front of him.
Yeah. I'm going to read you a couple other of these quotes here, and you see if you can determine, if you can figure out what the suspension may be, or if it's going to be lighter or heavier. Someone asked him if he thought the 8-game suspension was too light, the one that they gave him during the regular season prior to the latest video. And he goes, I guess in hindsight, I don't know. If it had been a 12-game suspension instead of an 8-game suspension, would it have mattered? I don't think we yet know what it will take to change his behavior.
Well, that means it's going to be significant.
But here he goes on to say this. He seems to be a fine young man. In terms of my dealings with him, I think he's clearly made some mistakes, but he's young, and I'm hoping now, once we conclude at the end of our process what the appropriate discipline is, that it's not just about the discipline. It's about now what we, the Players Association, his team, and he, and the people around him are going to do to create better circumstances going forward. I mean, I could tell you 10 games, 25 games, 41 games. I'm not sure by what he said, but he did say that, you know, 8 games, obviously that suspension was not enough, because he went out and did it again after that.
And other information has come along with it. We don't know what that information is. Like I said, that information could be other things that they found to be disconcerting.
Right.
Or that information could be a medical or mental diagnosis that they weren't aware of.
Yeah, and I don't think that announcing the suspension during the NBA Finals hurts the NBA Finals. I really, or the NBA. I mean, people separate it. The fact that Jimmy Butler and Nikola Jokic are together on the court and the Nuggets could win their first championship. I mean, I don't think that people are going to then all of a sudden have the NBA Finals be ruined,
you know,
by that.
Yeah, but I kind of get that part of it. No commissioner really wants to get in the way of any sort of finals, because the finals should be a celebration of what was a great year, especially for the two teams that are in the finals.
Well, what if you look at it this way? That when the finals are over and then nobody's talking about the NBA for a little bit until free agency starts in a couple of weeks, then all of a sudden all the focus is going to be on Ja Morant. Whereas if you announced it now, then who knows? Maybe Jokic has a 50-point triple-double in game two. And then all of a sudden everybody's talking about that. So when you make it the standalone story at the end of the season from a PR standpoint, I don't think it's that smart.
Well, he says it's not fair to the players that are playing. I agree. I do agree. I think that there's something that is happening in front of our eyes right now that really needs, and I think it's getting highlighted. I don't think it's getting highlighted to the level that I want it to be highlighted, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But I do think that Ja Morant is in for a significant suspension. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it'll be a year, but it's going to be significant, and he is going to have to prove to the commissioner and to the NBA that, you know, he's going to mature through this and that he's going to be, you know, a better citizen off the court.
Is half a season too light in your mind?
I told you what I felt.
No, I know, but I said the next morning,
I would say, you know, you're making a mockery of who I am and what we spoke about.
Right, but if it comes out that it's half a season, which would be significant.
It is significant, you know, and a lot of money that's lost.
Yeah, a ton. I mean, that's, you know, when he says we don't know yet what is going to change his behavior, you know, obviously an 8-game suspension at the end of the year when he comes back and plays and then basically, you know, gives an interview and talks to Adam Silver and he thinks everything is fine, like I just pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, I'm going to just do the same thing again. You know, maybe you take away half the season, half of his salary for the season.
And then there's a threat that if something happens again, you're going to be totally gone.
Then maybe that's it.
That may be the other aspect to, you know, this, like, three strikes and you're out type of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Which would really be unfortunate for the young man because he's a great basketball player. I mean,
I feel like it dealing with, you know, Adam Silver's kind of looks at this, I'm sure, because he really cares about the players in the league. It looks at this like one of his own children. I really do believe that. Like, not the same type of bond, but the fact that, like, this is a young star in the league that he is very, very proud of, that's got a bright future, and now he is in charge of trying to get that person, that young man, on the right track. You know, it's almost like, why does it have to come to this?
Well, you know,
why does it have to come to this?
The interesting thing about all of this is the amount of ex-players that have come down hard on Ja Morant.
Well, yeah, because they've all been in that same situation with the same temptations and the same money and the same issues, and they chose a different path, and they're watching him screw it up.
Even the guys that have actually gotten in trouble in the NBA have come down hard on Ja Morant.
Well, yeah. Right, because it's also the way he's doing it. Now, these other guys, some of these guys didn't have access to Instagram Live during their careers, and maybe if they did, they would have found themselves in the same situation. I mean, I feel like Gilbert Arenas brought a gun to every game. Didn't he think that was...
Yeah, but he was
down there in Washington.
He's one of the guys that came out and as a cautionary tale, you know, criticized Ja Morant.
Right.
Saying, look, don't do what I did.
Right. That's when you know. When Gilbert Arenas is saying that you're screwing up too much, that's when you know you've really crossed the line. All right, it is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer's big, hot basketball take is about to come out of the oven and get served up. As Adam Schein would say, put on your oven mitts. Hot take coming out of the oven.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.